help me with prayer, please. I pray to our all-knowing Father for helping me speak to you, giving knowledge, wisdom, and will through the words of my voice. Amen. In the past several weeks, we have heard of the other fruits of the Holy Spirit. This morning, we continue with first looking at the fruit of gentleness. In defining gentleness, it is the quality or state of being gentle, especially mildness of manners or disposition. It is closely related to the Christian virtue of kindness. It is power under control. Not a sign of weakness, but a sign of power. My first scripture is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. In this first verse I read, this verse of Scripture gives us the perfect example of evangelism. In our continuing love, reverence, and praise to the Lord, to always be ready to answer the question, giving the reason for always given in a calm and gentle way. My second scripture is the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. In the appeal from Paul, we have to rejoice by the Lord. Story about the woman at the well. His mother being involved in a complicated situation, Jesus comforts her and tells her of salvation. In another gospel of John, chapter 8, the story of a woman caught in the act of adultery. Truly guilty, Jesus could have judged. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. To be equal to no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. The soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And the last one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. The quality of gentleness next to me show the potential of the gentleness. Potentially, I could go to the grocery store, giving the impression, wait a minute. But the only reason you're there is to inconvenience me. The last example is a co-worker or a child who has created a mess. Whether it be missing a deadline or being in an auto accident, they need our support and help. This can be very difficult to deal with also. What is our reaction, our response to these situations? Impulsively,
you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome in
14-17 tells us, what good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Does such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, oh, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not by action, is death. The action and fruit of the Spirit I want to focus on today is self-control. We see right off from the get-go in this passage in verse 3 that God has provided everything that we need to spiritually grow in this fast. By ourselves, we are helpless. Dead in the cesspool of sin. Jesus left his Father in heaven to enter into the world of humans to become our lifeguard and delve into and rescued us and resuscitated us by taking our sins and dying on the cross. Prideful as we are, we think that we can still rescue ourselves. But trust me, a dead man has no strength. Verse 4 refers to turning from sin and turning towards God. Participate in the divine nature, empowering us with its own moral goodness through the sending of the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. John 14, verses 15 through 21 tells us, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but will see that you will see me. Because I live, you also shall live. On that day, you will realize that I am my Father, and you are in me. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show him to myself. So, how do we receive God's promises? Verse 4 ends with Peter telling us that we can escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. In other words, we can turn from and repent of our sins. Faith and repentance both must result in action. Both faith and repentance make us realize that God was right all along and we were wrong. Faith without repentance does not result in a transformed life. And repentance without faith simply leads to depression. We need both faith and repentance in order to experience transformational spiritual growth. Verses 5 through 7 shows us the seven characteristics that Christians should exhibit, develop, and strengthen. Peter tells us to make every effort. In some Bibles, that's translated as diligence. In using self-control to immediately, even hastily, set out to begin or continue to grow spiritually. Because God has wired me to be more of a teaching preacher, I'm going to unpack a three-point rubric measure our spiritual growth. Let's look at the three areas of service, transformation, and calling. Verse 8 tells us that God will give us opportunities to use these qualities to serve him in effective and productive ways. In John 1, verses 5 through 8, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains
serve him, from providing for the needs of others. Verse 9 shows us that we must be transformed in order for our faith to go beyond what we believe and to become a passionate part of what we do, resulting in good fruit and spiritual maturity. If we do not continue to add to our faith, we can forget that we have been forgiven of our sins. God stirs our conscience and humbles us as believers. And this can result in either hardening our hearts and turning away from God, or softening our hearts, resulting in repentance and returning to Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, let me be very clear about salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. It does not depend on good deeds, but it results in good deeds. God expects that this transformation will result in living a life that is continuously turning away from sin. None of us will live a sinless life, but we should sin less and less as we are being transformed. Learning that sin can only cause pain for ourselves, others, as well as God. Verses 10 and 11 are the crowning jewels of self-control. They speak about our calling in life, or our vocation, or our ministry, and also our election, becoming a child of God. Peter points out to us that if we truly belong to God, our hard work will show it and will back up our claim to be chosen by God. We will not be led astray by false teaching or by the glamour and glitz of sin. Theologian Friedrich Bierner says it very succinctly, call is the place where our deepest hunger and the world's deepest needs meet. In other words, Jesus empowers us with his Holy Spirit. He equips us with spiritual gifts and talents to serve those who have needs that have to be met in order for them to become spiritually ready to become disciples of the good news. The truth be told, the most important thing about self-control is that all things said, thought, or done must be communicated in love. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 tells us, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move